You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache?
Last week on My Sexy Podcast, Sabrina invited her sexy parents in, and let's just say things got a little bit rappy in terms of they recorded a rap song.
You're Syed.
You're Ursula.
What's up?
I want to talk about Sabrina.
You mean our daughter?
Yeah. What?
When she was young, I knew she was the one to make sexy podcasts shine brighter than the sun.
Yo, she's my daughter too. I made her right with you. You better check yourself if you don't think it's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true. It's true.
It's hard to be the best, to be the best in the world.
Fool. Chill out, chill out.
What?
Just cause she's blowing up, don't freak out, freak out.
Bitch.
This podcast gonna feed us, pay out, pay out.
What?
Her jokes are so holy moly, more beautiful than Lena Jolie.
Okay, hold up. I think you meant Angelina. And I don't mean to be meaner, but Sabrina is more than money. I am the one that taught her funny. Bitch.
What?
Bitch.
Wait, we're still married, right?
For sure, Ursula. I love you for life. It's true.
It's hard to be the best, to be the best in the world.
It's true.
Here it is, here I am. Here's my verse, here's my jam. Here we go now. Here we go now. Stop fighting over me. I ain't your World War III. I'm just a grown-up chick. Act like I got big dick, cause my podcast's number one. My shoes are number one. My personality's fun. Everything is number one. Number one. I'm number one. I'm the best. I'm the best. I'm just the best. Hey, guys. Guys.
Yeah, yeah. We're over it.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You're leaving?
Yeah, we are done.
We realize we don't really care. What's a podcast anyway?
It's pronounced podcast, and it's like a new platform. You were just saying it's number one. It's a new platform.
Well, we don't care about it.
You don't care?
No.
Wow. All right. Thanks for saying bye.
It's hard.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was a little ditty I like to call Higher Ground. Why am I playing it again? You heard it on the last episode at the end. Well, because repetition, my friends, is the recipe to... I'm done with the sentence. Guys, today we have a new guest that did not give birth to me, nor is she Pakistani or Swiss. She is the one, the only, Lisa Traeger.
Hey, did you write that podcast, that song?
You know what? Sometimes you get in the studio with your parents and things just sort of, they're more like Jay-Z. Like, I don't write things for them. They just sort of spit.
They just did that?
They just close their eyes. It's been since I was young that they just kind of close your eyes. It's sort of an autistic thing and then sort of rhyme. No, I wrote it down for them.
Okay.
But they're cute. We took the subway here and they were like rehearsing it on the subway.
You're so talented. I'm also jealous because you have foreign parents, but they get it. But my foreign parents stayed foreign.
What do you mean? They don't get it.
But they did a whole rap in English.
You should listen to their podcast. They do get. But
they have their own podcast?
No. I had them. They will have their own podcast after last week's podcast, episode 10, I believe. Yeah. They tore it up in a sense that they really talked about where they were from. In a long-winded way where I had to be like, guys, let's talk about farts or pussy.
Did you ask them sexual questions?
Mm-hmm. Well, I asked them a lot about what it was like when I came out because it was not cool for them. Like, they're not foreign in the way that they
ride. I thought in my head, because we talk about you, like, coming out of your mom's pussy. That's what I imagined.
Yeah,
I was like,
when I tore
your
vagina.
Oh, no, what happened?
Yeah, well, let's just say we made eye contact and it wasn't that cool.
But you meant the closet.
Imagine, I wonder if any, like, teenage pregnant kid girls give birth to girls and then are immediately threatened by them.
That's great.
Stop giving me cut eye. Wait, she just can't open her eyes yet.
Wait, have you had sex? Have you had sex with men?
No, but I actually just remembered that last night I had a thank you, so legit. I had a dream about a long black penis, and in the dream I was really like, this is a great shaped penis. There was a worship aspect to what I was doing with the penis. I did give it a hand job. I give so many hand jobs in all my dreams.
Really? Mm-hmm. Did you look it up on the internet what it means?
Yeah, I'm probably gonna sexually assault someone in my life. That's okay. What I said. Just JK, JK, JK.
Have you seen the movie The Kids Are All Right?
I did see that movie.
Was it weird that they watched gay man porn?
No, that's not weird at all. That's actually I'm going to turn the volume up on this conversation.
Okay.
This is just sort of my way of telling guests, turn it up. Like, turn your energy up.
Turn. It's weird when I use the word turn in language and like convo and then people don't know what I'm saying. It's like, turn? Where have you been?
What
like,
do you mean?
I'm turned up.
Oh, turned up. People resist new words when they're over the age of 26. When they're over 26 or 27, they're like, ugh, like stop inventing new slang.
I love turned up.
But to go back.
To gay man porn.
To go back to gay man porn, I will turn down for what? On a gay man porn.
Oh, I haven't heard that song yet. Did I just use it right?
You haven't heard it yet?
No, but Miley Cyrus always posts Instagram videos, hashtag turn down for what? And then there's this French sandwich she hashtags all the time.
I'm trying to find turn down for what for you right now. Wait, hold on one second, guys. We did this a little bit opposite. You must be like, why are we listening to these dildos? Well, I have credits. Read my bio. And Lisa's credits are...
I just moved here.
She just moved here.
3 weeks ago.
You always want people to say that when you come on stage, but your other, like, you know, your real deal credit, you've done Adam Devine's House Party on Comedy Central and more popularly, Chelsea Lately.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's like, you know when people that are annoying do things, then you don't want to do them even though it's normal?
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I get so annoyed when people are like, make sure you say this credit. They're like, I don't want to be that annoying person.
Well, here's the thing.
And then people expect things out of you.
I think it only helps. First of all, I get it. I actually know of a comic back in Canada that had a laminated, like, list of credits that they would just bring to shows. Which, I mean, it's a nerdy, in general, it's like not a likable thing to be like, and remember, I've done this and this, and tell them. And it's an awkward thing. I host a lot.
Well, because they're just not going to know. One of my friends was saying, like, she was brought up like, you might have seen her on The New Girl. And then it's like, well, everyone's expecting Zooey Deschanel now.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one remembers me from that one episode, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like this, it's just weird.
I think it's a way of contextualizing you. You know, like sometimes it's festivals and it's like, okay, so this is like a newer, you know, whether it's like in an alt room and people are like, you know, oh, okay, so they did Bridgetown, so they're like coming up. Or, I mean, I guess alt rooms, that's where you kind of drop, you don't need the credits.
Yeah.
Because that's an alt room is full of people who are like, oh, why did anyone ask for anything to be said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at a club, for sure, I think it does help. And
I agree.
I host at Stand Up New York a lot. And when I ask people, it always, you know, I say, what would you like me to say about you? And then people generally go to that humble thing of like, oh, I don't know. Just like, I don't know. And I'm like, I don't want to do this dance with you every fucking time. Like, now I have to Google you.
I'm also not used to working with strangers just because Chicago is more tight-knit. That when people are like, what do you want me to say? I'm like, well, I've known you for 4 years and we've like slept together or like gone on road trips. Like, can you just say you're my friend? You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess it's these are strange people and they aren't going to speak from the soul. But there is one comic... loose term, but he's a lunatic and he'll make up credits and we know he's making them up, but he'll like, you have to say them. He'll be like, I've done this and this and this. And we're like, no, you haven't. Like, you're uneducated. There's no way you're a writer.
I'm surprised comics don't call him out on that.
I mean, he is psychotic in more than one way.
What time in the afternoon did you start comedy? How old were you when you started?
21.
21, okay. Do you have creepy old man comic on the road stories?
No, no one wants to have sex with me ever. It's kind of a, I would like to be harassed.
Shut up. You
a
just
bit.
Had sex with a 22-year-old.
Oh, yeah, you're right. But my friend Megan, my roommate and bestie.
She gets all the abuse.
Constantly. She's really? Constantly getting like dicks whipped out at her, messages. I have like jokes about this.
I don't know
like,
how jealous you are of it.
She is like so attractive, but like the most unattractive men will message her, just like weird townies with like a lot of body issues. And I'm like, how are these people messaging you? Like weird doormen, like hunchbacks.
You know,
it's crazy how many people think that she's attainable, and it happens to her on the road all the time. I can't believe it.
Do you know what just happened to me on the subway on the way over here? This girl that had like a banged up knee, I was kind of looking at her knee being like, what happened to you, girl? But then her face was classic, like, I mean, in a casting room it would be like casting for awkward nerd, like quite young, braces, frizzy hair, and she on like a some kind of application wrote hi with a heart on it and turned it around at me.
Oh my god,
she made me so shy.
Yeah, I wish I was better at flirting. I can't flirt.
That's a good move, though.
Uncomfortable.
Just so you know, that you should just like have a picture that says hi with a heart and flip it around.
I think that's cute.
It's totally
so
cute.
Endearing.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
But then, I mean, then I'm married, but then,
yeah
you
but
can
your
take,
wedding
you take
ring
those
is
moments.
Silly. It
what
doesn't
do
look like a wedding ring.
Yeah.
So people, like, I look for it's, wedding rings constantly.
Just so you know, it's a laminated frog. real life frog. It was frozen in time and then plaster-sized around my finger.
No, it's cute. It's you. But it doesn't look,
it doesn't
like,
look
a wedding
like a wedding ring.
Ring.
Yeah.
So people wouldn't assume that it's, like, a band of love.
Which is fine. I can have these stolen moments with ladies in the subway. But then I also, right. I say that, but then I also have this like nervous thing of like, I can't take this any further.
I just found out that one of my married friends gets his dick sucked by strangers a lot. And it's weird.
A comic?
No, but I found out yesterday.
Wait, a non-comic?
Yeah.
What?
Who's married?
Say their name.
I can't.
When no one is around you.
I can't ruin their... I've ruined enough marriages. This isn't going to be one of them.
How many marriages have you ruined?
None, but I...
Have you ruined marriages?
No, but I definitely had sex with, like, a coworker's father while he was engaged in their home.
A coworker's father? You
yeah.
like old daddies?
I did until I became so upset after. Like, it was, like, a low, weird point in my life, I think, because after that, I was just, like, so down on myself. I was, like, upset. But he was also bad at sex. It's like you've had like 6 years of
after
experience.
This specific
yeah.
experience with this.
Yeah, I was just like, what am I doing? Because I thought he was younger, and then he said he had a son in his 30s. So I was
what?
Like, oh,
how
fuck,
old is
you're
he?
A grandpa. Like, I don't know.
What is it like having sex with a man of that?
I was blacked out. And so then when I awoke.
This is not good.
I know.
Old man and married man getting your dick sucked. What is going on?
I don't know. I am at the point now where I know so many men that cheat that it's like, I don't know if anyone's
not cheating.
Yeah. And I probably know girls that cheat too, but like just in the past year, I know of like so many dudes that are just like constantly cheating.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely born gay. Like I've definitely like my predisposition, because they say like nature and nurture has an effect on everything, right? They
yeah.
say. When I say they, I mean me. I made that up. I'm genius. But like nature and nurture, that's what I believe. It's not like one or the other. Shauna, my wife, is like quite feminine, dated more men, is now married to me. So she's gay, I guess, but she's also got the straight
she's
in
on
her.
The spectrum.
And I'm dreaming about black dicks. I have held a penis before. I've like felt tinglies while kissing a boy. It's not like, you know, it's not black and white, but if I had been more like had like maybe 60% straight, 40% gay, the nurture of like being in the comedy community probably would push me to be the opposite, to be leaning towards gay, because so many, my point being, so many guys are dishonest about.
Yeah. And
they
you
have
chase
it's like, but it's a, I think it's like a sociopathic thing to be able to convey to a person, to like some the person that supposedly you have the deepest connection with,
mm-hmm.
that it's just them, and then
It's fucked. It's just like, why get married? It just doesn't make sense. It's like people, like, if you want to sleep around, that's great. Just yeah, why, like, are you ruining someone's life?
Yeah.
Like, it's unfair. It really grosses me out. It upsets me that people would cheat. But I also I've hooked up with a lot of people that were in relationships.
Yeah. I mean, you're young, and this is where
I'm learning lessons.
You're learning lessons. You're in the learning lessons period.
But I can't imagine marrying someone, doing all that, and then going and getting your dick sucked.
Wait, so he goes on Tinder and has...
I don't know. I just found out yesterday. It's a lot of new information, so I'll figure it out.
How did you find out?
Someone told me. People love to tell me things. It's great.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm good at like listening and talking and I think, and people know I like to know things.
Yeah.
So they tell me because I love to know it, and everyone will be like, okay, well, and then they just tell me.
Perfect.
But then people don't think I could keep a secret, but I can, because there are secrets I keep that are huge. But then if you tell me something, I don't think it's important. Like, I'll tell people.
Yeah,
I have discretion. Like, if it's something intense, I'll definitely like keep my mouth shut. But
you just got to, before you tell Lisa a secret.
I always say, can I tell Megan? And then they say yes or no.
Which means, can I tell four people?
Yeah.
Close to me.
Yeah. But I'll always ask if I could tell Megan.
So, your relationship with Megan is a friendship, but it seems like the kinds of friendships that I had in high school that I was like, it's such a great friendship.
Yeah.
Where I was madly in love with the other person.
Oh, it's funny because we have a mutual friend, and their friend was like, oh, did Lisa come out? Like, I see she's moving to New York with a woman. And they're like, no, they're just friends, even though they're sleeping in a bed together.
Do you guys ever get threatened by other relationships in each other? Like, you know, one of you hanging out with someone else or boyfriends?
I don't think so. I really don't. Because all of our friends, there's very few friends that aren't super mutual. You know what I mean? Even like her sorority sisters and friends from college, like I'll hang out with them. But when I had a boyfriend that one time, the three of us would hang out all the time.
But you make it that way. You make it. I actually, when I was started being friends with Alana Glazer, she...
No big deal.
No big deal. I love the difference a year makes, but it really is. I know when I'm saying her name now. It's like, when I started becoming friends with Alana Glazer of Broad City, Emmy. But she, like, the very first Facebook message, she was like, you've got a friend, Abby, or she'll be mad.
Okay, that's so
great.
So
it's like, sort of, yeah, it's just like, that's how they...
I mean, I talk about her nonstop, and I know that she brings me up
this
a lot.
This is Megan Gailey, by the way.
But, I mean, I did become really close with my friend Natalie in Chicago like a year and a half ago. We had known each other for years, but it just never worked out. And then we went to see Sandra Bernhardt live, and it brought us together.
And Natalie?
Yeah. And we became super close, lots of sleepovers, lots of hanging out constant, like all weekends. But when Megan could, she would come, but Megan's super busy. But I think Natalie would get mad if I was just with Megan. But I don't know.
What do you mean? Natalie would get mad?
Yeah. She'd be like, are you sleeping over there? Not
but
here?
Natalie is, so then Natalie's mad.
Sometimes.
Because Megan won.
Oh, because we're here together?
Yeah.
She's sad I moved, but I think.
Turn down for what? Right?
Little John, what a lucky motherfucker.
Turn down for... Why is he so lucky?
I don't know why I brought up all this weird friendship situations.
No, I brought it up.
But I don't think so. I mean, Megan and I think have made a commitment to keep this friendship going. And so we know that we have
it
to be open
with communication.
It is remarkable
because you guys are both comics. And I think, I mean, two comics together in a sexual relationship, I'm always like, well, you know...
Yeah.
There are very, very few that I think have staying power because it's too difficult.
It is.
I guess with the sex removed, it's easier because you can... But isn't there some sort of rivalry? Because truly, I'll be honest, my best friend... I mean, like, Ali Wong and Nikki Glazer are my best friends in comedy. They kill it, crush it. Killing it. I mean, now it's to the point where, like, when we were all sort of like in this zone and the first big opportunities came in for them, I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not above a feeling of competition. Mm-hmm. And like, getting down on myself because I'm not succeeding in the way someone close to me is.
I think when we were a lot, I mean, we're still pretty young, but like when we were younger, there was that, and it would be like someone would get something and it'd be like, you know, I'm jealous, or like there was that. But then you kind of get older in comedy and you realize like, I want you to succeed as much as I want me to succeed. And same with like my close group of friends. It's like everything we do for each other. Like, because Megan and I are always like daydreaming, not daydreaming, we're like trying to work on like creating shows and content and all this stuff. But in our heads, it's always like, oh, we should write our friend in for this, or like our friend can do that, or like let's do that. Or
collaborating. There's,
it's always about everybody. But I've had like a pretty badass year, year and a half. So I don't know if other people in our friend group are like, fuck that bitch.
Your album went platinum, right?
Super platinum. But I did live with my parents. And Megan gets fucked more. You know what I mean?
Just random. But I love guacamole. And Megan's got orange hair.
No, I mean, we're just honest. And like, there's, like, if you know that someone really wanted something and you got it, like, maybe you just won't talk about it as much. Or with time, it'll be fine. I don't know. I just feel like we're both really happy for each other and excited, and I want to know all the details. And I brag about her all the time.
Yeah.
And I think she's proud of me, too.
Yeah.
Like, I have this one friend, Lauren. She's, like, a badass in the art world. And she keeps, like, getting cooler jobs and more opportunities and better positions.
What's her full name?
Lauren Joyce.
Lauren Joyce.
She's amazing. Lauren with a W, L-A-W-R-E-N. But whatever. But, like, I would brag about her when she was in grad school. You know, when she was in grad school, I was like, you don't understand. My friend Lauren is crushing it.
She's the
editor of the paper. You know, just like, she's working at the MCA as an assistant.
Enough about Lauren.
So it's just like, I feel really happy and awesome that I want all my friends to be amazing. I want them all to get everything.
I don't buy it, Lisa. I think you're crying inside, JK.
But
JK,
the people JK. I hate, when they get stuff, it shakes me to my core. I mean, I have to block people from Facebook that I hate, but then I'll like look them up just to like see what they're doing, just to get mad.
Yeah.
I definitely have enemies.
I know that about you.
I have some enemies, and every time I see anything, I'm just like, they don't deserve it.
Shout out to your enemies. List them off. Let's do it.
I can't.
No?
I can't. But
you are a funny person. Okay, so what happened was, so Lisa and I have been buddies for a little while. We met when you were visiting, like a year ago?
I still talk about that moment. Because Megan and I didn't advance to the finals of She-Devil, and we were pissed. Because one of our enemies did. And so then we decided you were our favorite. So we're like, Sabrina's going to win. And then we just started taking Rumpelman shots, heckling people we didn't like, being loud, constantly being shushed, cheering loudly for you. And then when you didn't win, we were like, bullshit! And we're just going nuts. And then you were just like,
I like these Rumpelman girls.
And then you were like, do you want to come to my place, smoke a blunt, and watch my lesbian wedding video? We're like, I think we won this competition. We've won. And it was great.
Yeah, so that's when we met. So this is like 2 years ago, actually.
Yeah.
And then we saw each other in LA for Last Comic.
That was fun.
And then, so we're buddies. But anyway, so you just moved to town. When I looked at, because you were like, you're bad at texting when I saw you on Saturday. And I was like, oh, yeah, no. It's true. I mean, it's true. When someone texts you, they're like reaching out to you. And when you don't reply, it seems like you're ignoring them. But really, oftentimes, I'll get a text from someone, and I'll be like, oh, cool reach out. But I'm in the middle of this podcast. No, I'm doing something.
You also know that you're just, like, too cool and fun. So, like, you don't have to, and people will be okay with
it. Shut up.
If you were, like, a little shittier, it'd be like, fuck up. Don't you think so? No, that's the whole, it's the game. It's like, you put up with things like, for people that are awesome.
Look, I'll play the game, but this is what I'm saying is, like, there's no game. And also, it's not I just think it's, like, this needs to be defined because it's a new era. Never before have we had this kind of communication.
Yes, that
and
is
like,
true.
We learned, you know, when in high school, we learned all sorts of things about the way to communicate in a, I guess, I don't know. Actually, I don't know what kind of high school class was like. Talk like this. Say hi like this.
Public speaking, maybe?
Public speaking, I guess. But there is no real defined rule around, I don't know, reaching out digitally. You know, I've sent emails to people and not heard back, and still that, you know, that'll, when I'm like in a bad mood searching for things to make me more upset, I'll bring back some of the greatest hits of like, oh yeah, I fucking reached out to that bitch. didn't hear back from that. But then there's definitely bucketfuls of people, bucket handfuls. Those are buckets made of hands. Look it up. Of people that are like, Sabrina Jalisa is a dick.
Oh, I think I have more than a handful for me. But yeah,
how many? Well, no. How many hand bucketfuls?
Oh my God! Ew! I'm imagining all
Do
these.
Do you get back to everybody? Are you
buckets.
Like very good at getting back to people?
It depends. It depends. It really does. Because sometimes you're right. You're like super busy, or you're with friends. Or I'm really bad when I'm traveling and people are texting me. It's just like.
Oh, yeah.
I'm obviously not concentrated on you, but I was going to say it's awesome when you
also
Facebook.
Also, just like general questions. They're like, sup? It's like, well, what do you mean sup?
Oh, yeah. Like when I send holla, it means like, what are you doing right now? Is there a party?
Yeah.
So if you're like not, that makes sense.
No, I'm not talking. Did you write me sup?
No, I wrote holla.
Look.
No, well, yeah. I like Facebook messages when you send someone and then you see the previous thing and it was a message they never answered from.
Yes.
And it's like, then they have to, if they want to answer this time, because now I have TV credits, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't respond to you. And I was like, whatever.
I hate when I open up, when I'm going to reach out to someone and then you open it up and it's like, skeletons in the closet. It's like some sort of weird context. It's the worst is, last summer I did a tour and I was producing it, so I basically did, like, reached out to literally anybody. Like, your friend, if she was the editor of a high school paper, I would have been like, hey, Lauren, sup, girl? Hope your summer's doing good. Love that dress you have in the profile pic. Anyways, need you to just write a little thing about me. But I did that with this guy, Gian Gameshi, who's quite famous in Canada. He's a friend of mine. I actually went on a date with him one sexually confused time in my life. But he... the last message that he had written was something like, it was a happy birthday message and being like, hope things are great in New York, blah, 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 blah. But it was from years ago and I never wrote back. Happy birthday messages, like Facebook, you know.
Oh, no.
Like,
and then you just needed a favor.
Well, then I wrote him and I was, he's got like this very, you know, it's got great listenership, radio show called Q. It's a great show. And I reached out and I was like, hey, man. Just saw that I didn't write you back. Wow. Anyway, hope you're doing great. I'm doing this tour. I would love to, you know, if you could fit me in. And then he wrote back being like, you're dead to me.
Oh, seriously?
I think he was joking. Then I tweeted at him and I said, am I dead to you on this platform too? And he said, yes.
So you never did the show.
But that's exactly it. I never did the show. So it would be funny joke if he even had written back and considered what I had said and said like, you know, we're really busy with the show. Hope your tour does well. Sorry, I can't have you on. You know what I mean?
I mean, like, was he in love with you?
No.
Okay.
No. Although everyone sort of is, I feel.
Yeah.
Right?
Play it.
Right?
Play it.
Turn it down for what?
Yo. Just so you know, every time I hit that song, I flash everyone.
You're just so loose and fun.
Come on, girl.
I feel like a librarian. In sweat clothes.
It's kind of my goal to make everyone in the hot seat feel like a libe.
But with Facebook messages, I don't like that you could see, like, but they're obviously crazy people. Facebook's just so many. This, I don't think it's the same with text because less people are able to text you.
Yeah.
But it's like they ask a question and you're like, okay, I'll get back to that. And it's like, so no, you can't do that? Hello?
I mean,
question
no,
mark?
But
are
those
you
people
asking?
Are
and
garbage.
It's like,
that's like,
what
I mean,
are you
it's
doing?
Hilarious. I think Amy Schumer or someone posted on Instagram. Oh, no, Chelsea Peretti posted a screen cap of like someone being like, Chelsea, you're my favorite comedian ever. And then she doesn't get back. Like the next thing is like, so you're not tweeting at me? And then the next thing is like, you're a stuck up bitch. Like the way people turn on you. And really that happens when I leave my Facebook chat on. That is this exact same thing has happened where someone's like, oh my God, you're like such a great, like, and then deteriorates into them hating because they feel ignored.
Yeah, people don't want to talk to me that hardcore. So I haven't, but it's like, yeah.
Yeah,
weird
people
boys.
Don't want to, I want to talk to you hardcore.
No one does. I like this chalk situation.
Everyone does. You killed, okay, so we did a show together on Saturday. Lisa is like a fun girl. You want her at your party. You want her at your christening. You want her at your bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah. I am renting her out.
I have not been to a bar mitzvah in a long time.
I want to go to so many.
Oh, they're so great. So many great prizes and dance games.
Okay, speaking of prizes.
Oh, my nephew is going to be bar mitzvah next year.
What the fuck?
All right.
Down for what?
It's so weird to be like, I wonder if my nephew's jacking it. It's like, is he grown? You know?
Oh, pulling the old weasel?
Yeah.
Pulling the weasel out, putting the weasel back in, pulling the weasel out, and that's how you masturbate. I'm actually recording a song of children's, it's an anthology of children's limericks, all to do with coming of age sexually.
That would be beautiful.
Bleeding the one baby out. Slowly drip dropping. Everything's sort of in that sing song, the same tone. Guys, listen, write me if you want to hear more about it. I can't spend more time on this children's limerick anthology. Lisa,
everyone, write a children's book.
I was talking about Saturday. I was talking about, gotta close my eyes and focus. Oh yeah, so you were drunkies.
I was.
And then you went on stage and killed, and it was so impressive.
Thank you.
You can do that. Actually, you know what Mateo Lane said to me? Mateo Lane episode, I'd say 3 or 4. He said to me, Lisa's the kind of girl that, you know, she can go out and party all night and she's going to be famous. Like, there's no doubt about it. She's just going to make it.
Oh, that's sweet.
It is sweet.
He's a sweet little boy. I saw him yesterday when he went, Lisa, you know, you really got to get used to doing 2 to 3 sets a night here in New York.
So you mentioned that. Is that what you want, to do 2 to 3 sets a night?
I love that. Yeah, it's super fun. The more sets you could do a night, the better. I mean, I just think that's fun. But when you're like getting adjusted to a new city and have friends who want to see stuff, and you're getting, I feel like 1 or 2 sets is fine. Like, I'm not here to prove to anyone like I work harder than you.
Yeah.
But that's the most enjoyable thing, to like zip around and get to like, because by the later set, you're just confident and loose.
Yeah, it's
so much fun.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, and you feel like... you feel like a badass. It makes me feel like the beginning part of Saturday Night Live when they're like rushing around New York City.
Montages of rushing around a city are one of my favorite things.
Live from New York, you're in another basement!
Oh, never mind. I don't want it. I don't know.
Were you just going to compliment me and then you thought,
I'm into compliments. I like complimenting strangers.
I was complimenting you. I'm saying a lot of people have like rituals before their shows or get very nervous.
You know what? It's your friend Nikki Glazer who inspired me, because she gave me my first feature set in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And you know, I was super young and I was like, I can't do 20 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And she didn't have a set list. I was like, do you not write set lists? She's like, no, she's like, I know my jokes, I know my chunks, I can put them together, I'd rather be looser. And from that moment, I just like stopped writing set lists. And I don't know if that was her goal, like she's probably like, you should write a couple set lists. But
yeah.
I just, from that moment, I was like, she's doing 45 and killing it and being fun, I don't want to write set lists either.
Interesting.
And so I just stopped writing. But then you do forget things sometimes. So there's a downfall, or like I'll forget old jokes and I'll be like, oh, why did I stop doing that?
Yeah, I don't think it's a hard and fast rule.
No, yeah.
And also for like, it depends what set. If it's like, obviously if you're like showcasing for something, you're going to know what jokes you're doing. You're going to know the optimal order.
Yeah, but I just like to do it in my head and like kind of, I don't know. I just, or like right before, like you said, if it's an important one, I'll write like, if it's a 6-minute set, like maybe I'll write the 10 minutes I want to do and then like slowly weed it out and put it together. But
yeah,
it's rare. I just like that more.
So when you have a pressure full set, actually, what do you think? What was the most important set you've done so far?
I don't know. Like the most pressure. You'd have to give me a moment to think about it.
How about I give you a week?
Well, let's keep talking, but I'll come back next week.
But I guess it doesn't really even matter what I'm saying, what I'm trying to get to. What I'm trying to get to is like, how do you deal with the pressure of showcasing? Because that's something that I definitely feel I've grown in, and I have failed many showcases in my life.
Well, when you said important, it's just funny because when you're younger, smaller things are more important. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, it was a stupid question. It really, if you asked me the same thing, I'd be like, well, why don't we just think
about it? Because I remember like there was a showcase in Chicago called Comedians You Should Know, and it's just like in a bar. I mean, it's an awesome show, but when I first got to do it, it was like
the big thing.
Oh my God, I have to. And now it's like, it's just the most fun ever, and I'm comfortable, and I love that room. So it definitely changes. But I just, early on, went, I don't know, I don't want to seem like I like got it together.
No.
But
so many
for
people
me,
got
it's
it.
Like, being nervous and anxious does not help.
Yes.
So I just try as hard as possible to be like, one show or thing is not going to make or break anyone. I mean, I guess it can make you, but like one thing is not going to change your career.
Yes.
For me, I think for the worse. Like if you, I don't know. I'm sure if I did late night, I'd be very nervous, but.
No, I think that's exactly it. And actually hanging out with Nikki before she did late night with Seth. What's the show called? What the fuck?
Late night.
Late show with Seth.
The Late Show.
Okay. We are not getting sets on that show based on our memories. So she was doing a set there and her agents were there and she asked me to come. A couple of her other friends were all hanging out in the green room, and then she just goes out and does her set. And I used to get so nervous. I would reserve if I had a showcase. I remember like when I first was showcasing for Just for Laughs, like I would just take the whole day off. I would not make any plans, and it was the worst. It's the worst idea. To get like to just start talking like your first time talking.
Well, especially
in the day
it's
on
you.
Stage.
You know what I mean? Like you're on stage as you, and you should be living your life as you all the time. Because it's like you shouldn't. I remember I went to Asheville, the Laugh Your Asheville Off Festival, and it was me, Megan, and our friend David Drake, who's awesome, but he's definitely more like writing down and like in his element.
Focused.
So. He was just like so mad at us because he would have to be focused, and we were just like stealing cheese, drinking, going on brewery cruise tours, loving life, eating biscuits. And he was just like, "I'm gonna go to my hotel and think about my set." And it was like, "Yeah, that sucks. It sucks to be you."
It's true. Because at the end of the day, it's what like how you use those 10 minutes that you got on stage or whatever.
Yeah. You can't change, because I remember this one moment where like this, it was too early on, but like this like manager was coming to see me and I was like, oh my God. And then instead of doing the stuff I was excited about and like working on, I did like the 5 minutes I thought were the best. And it didn't go well. It didn't seem genuine and I didn't do well. So I was just, that's when I was like, I'm not going to change anything I do. Oh, and like I did JFL Chicago like LOL Lounge and they were taping it for like, something on the internet, and they were like, you got to keep it clean, you got to do this, and I was like so nervous, and they like rejected all these dirty jokes, and I went up there, I was nervous, and I didn't do the set I wanted, and then everyone else was swearing and talking about drugs and doing everything, and I'm like, I'm an idiot, you know? So from those two experiences, I was like, you can't worry, you can't change things, and you can't do any of that, because it's not gonna turn out well. Being stressed out, you like shake on stage, I don't like that, you dry throats, it's not positive.
Dry ass pussy.
My puss is always wet.
Turn down for what?
I like to punctuate every real thought with some sort of pussy joke. And then a little stinger from the internet.
What's from the internet?
This stinger. I call it an internet sting.
No, I'm not good at the internet. But yeah, but Chelsea was a little different because it's not your jokes. It's
Yeah,
you get them 2 hours before and you have to prepare. So
that's crazy,
definitely,
2 hours before.
So that's, and then hair and makeup's included in that time. So that's definitely a more high stress situation.
Is everybody in their green room working on their shit?
No, because they usually only have one newbie an episode.
Okay.
So they'll have like a writer and someone that's done it 40 times or like a regular or two writers.
Yeah.
So, they're usually not even in the green room. They don't even use the green rooms. I'm stealing snacks.
So then you're just thinking, I mean, it's basically the first joke that you think of when they give you the topic.
No, I usually have a friend with me that I think is really funny and talented too. And so we get Prescott Tolk.
Okay.
And this last time my friend Joe Kilgallen came, but Prescott writes for TV, like he knows what he's doing. And when I started in Chicago, he was like the big guy. Like he was, he's kind of my mentor and I really like him. So we basically get the sheets with everything. And then like I bring my laptop and I open the email and all the links to all the articles. And then I open a Google Docs and just like write everything that we come up with. And then after we write everything, I go back and like, what's actually funny? What's not? What do I want to stick
with?
That's awesome. Yeah. Because there's brainstorming, like there's no bad ideas, you know, because then the talent exec guy, like the producer, like he comes in and then you share with him and he's like, work on that, not that, that's not going to work, our audience won't like that. So it's good to have everything.
So the experience is a fun one.
It's the most fun. It's like sad that the show's ending. So come back, but it's fun and it's quick. I don't know, doing TV is like the coolest thing ever.
It is the coolest thing ever. Cool. One controversial thing that I don't know, maybe like you benefit from doing the show. And this happened. Okay, so I worked on a show in Much Music in Canada for a long time. In Canada, on a station called Much Music is probably the best way to phrase that. But guys, here I am, you know, just putting a Google Doc together in my mind and saying what comes first. I mean, I can't live with this pressure of always being on for you people. I love you, though. Yeah, so it was this very popular show. They'd play it all the time. And we got paid in the beginning $100 a shoot. I mean, that being said, our profiles got raised. I could charge way more for my college gigs. I got way more college gigs. But like, what? It's a TV show.
Yeah.
And there's something similar that I heard, not from you, from somebody at the Chelsea Lately pays $300.
Yeah, a little more, but yeah.
A little
not
more,
a lot.
But not a lot more. I mean.
No, and that's the thing. Like, if you live in LA, it's like, yeah, you stroll in the afternoon, you're done, you get to end TV. But like, for me, I definitely, you know, like I'm flying, but.
And I mean, I would do, obviously, yeah, just like anyone else, I would do it in a heartbeat. And I'm not the kind of person, I think the world needs those kinds of people, but like, I'm not the kind of person that's going to like write some long-winded blog about like, no, we need to be paid to do the pay, because it's not about the pay. But at the same time, it's just such a, to me, I thought leaving Canada, like, I thought that was a Canadian thing because we were the small times. And it's like, oh, no, that's just like a business thing where people, you know, that have successful shows.
I mean, it's all artists will do everything for free, and people know that.
Yeah.
And that's basically what it comes down to. Artists are easier to, I don't think it's taking advantage of in my situation at all. But
no,
like,
yeah,
in other situations, like, yeah, people will drive 6 hours for $50 when they first start. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
all these crazy,
yeah,
things, and you know people will do it, and if you won't do it, the next person will. But I don't know. Also, no one owes you the, I don't know, but they have so much money. It's weird.
Yeah. It's a funny one, but maybe.
I mean, no one said no, I don't think.
Butch.
Okay.
From The Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Make her class it up.
Yeah, yeah. Get She's some, pretty classy.
Yeah. She sings very well, too.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Former Bears coach Mike Ditka's nickname was Iron Mike. What nicknames would you give Ditka's mustache?
Ugh, I don't know. I'm so sick of
what
facial hair.
Oh.
Yeah.
This is a clip of you on YouTube. I just want to, guys, I'm so meta. I played an interview of Lisa while interviewing Lisa. Okay, we've got only a few minutes left, and we do have to call my mom. First of all, how did you feel about that interview that I just played?
I don't even know. I don't like silly questions. I don't like questions where it's like, what a funny question I'm asking.
Yeah,
what do you,
yeah,
think? It's like,
you're stuck on an island with a patch of hair, dead skin, and a mermaid body. What do you do?
Yeah, that's what he asked. He was like, if you were on fire, who would you go hug?
We're
and
calling
I'm
my
like,
mom right now.
On.
Surprise, we're calling my mom.
Does she get mad if you bring up The Little Mermaid?
Let's see. I'm sorry?
Oh my God, it's Nick Vatterott. Woo woo.
Nick Vatterott is in the studio. I'm calling my mother right now. How could things go any better?
Someone was like, we didn't realize Nick was such a hero in Chicago.
Hello.
Like,
yeah.
Mom.
Hi, Bina.
How are you, mommy?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm good. This is Lisa's in the room, my friend Lisa Traeger.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa. How are you?
I'm great. I just heard your rap song. Pretty
it's
good.
Pretty good, except for the bitch part, eh?
No, I like that.
You
my
just
favorite
said it again.
Part.
I can't stop this woman from saying bitch.
Okay.
Mom and I were, yeah, just at tennis camp in the Catskills. We just left each other a few days ago. Mom and Dad had
Who's
an
the
extra
best at
day.
Tennis?
Oh, I'm the best, obviously. But Mom?
Yeah?
How was the second day of tennis?
Actually, it was better than the first day because, I mean, you can kind of apply the things that you learned.
Yeah.
And the second day, actually, they gave us two teachers. So we got to do more stuff, which was good, you know. So it worked out really well. No, we really enjoyed it. I think it gave us a good push.
What food have you been eating?
You
what
know?
Do they feed you? Like healthy things?
Yeah, they feed you real
yeah,
good
Yeah, pretty
things.
Healthy, but a lot of stuff that, you know, there's also sweet stuff. I mean, not everything is healthy, but it's pretty good food. It's pretty, I mean, if you want to eat healthy, you'll find good stuff.
Mommy,
you know.
Speaking of health, do you have a healthy topic today, or are you going to talk about tennis, or...
I have more tennis
questions. I guess I'll talk about the tennis camp. Yeah, I'll talk about the tennis camp. You know, I think it's a little bit pricey, but as you said, if you break it down, you know, into the different things that you get, like lodging, you know, food, lessons, and
it's
so
on. It's called Total Tennis in the Catskills.
Yeah, it's actually not that expensive, you know.
Well, it was a present to you, really, so enjoyed I'd prefer it. You talk
I mean,
about
we
it
really
as an
enjoyed
thing.
It.
Okay, Mommy, and what did you learn?
Any enemies? Are there other tennis players you're not into right now?
Yeah, did you make any enemies out there?
No enemies.
No enemies. Because she's a mature lady, Lisa. She's had her mistake part of her life. She gave birth to me. Mom?
I didn't go there to become a killer player, you know. I just went there to, you know, learn how to hold the racket right because I've played tennis not many times in my life, but I played the way, you know, I thought it had to be played, and really there are, you know, techniques, and you do have to hold it the right way.
But Mom, do you
and
have...
that's
do
what
you
I have to practice now.
Do you have any ways of relating the things that you learned about tennis to life?
I guess, you know what, we have to step out of our comfort zone. I really wasn't too eager to go there, you know.
Yeah.
I would have rather just come home, but I think we do have to just step out of our comfort zone and try different things and do different things. You know, it's too convenient to just stay the way you are and not do anything new.
Wow.
So yeah. I think that's one thing I learned.
That's
and
a great thing.
I also learned that because you told me many times, you know, you have to hold the racket like this or whatnot, and I just thought, well, I just have to get it over the court, but actually that's not true. The teacher said it's more important to get two or three shots over the court the right way than 10 incorrectly.
Yes.
So I guess that's a lesson learned that, you know, if there is a technique or if there is a way to do something, you know, try to do it the right way because in the long run it will help you. Like some people had, you know, like their wrists were hurting because they were holding the racket the wrong way.
They were taping the rackets in
their
wrists.
My wrist didn't hurt. Yeah, didn't really hurt at all, you know. I mean, my body was hurting from bending and stretching and all that stuff. I could feel my body.
I don't want to know about what you and Dad did off court.
Well, not much, to tell you the truth. We were pretty much pooped, you know. That's for sure.
Is there a pool? Yeah.
But it's a pool. And, you know, the location is really, really nice. That area, I really would like to visit again.
What's it called again?
Not for tennis, just Saugerties.
Saugerties, yeah. Saugerties, New York.
Yeah. It's just beautiful there.
This
you
is
know,
a great time,
that,
actually,
I'm sure,
to bring up the sponsorship
I'm
today.
Sure. Yeah, today, I'm sure it's not the only little town that's cute. I'm sure all the little towns around there are similar, you know. I think it would be a good place to spend a week.
All right, you know. Saugerties, spend a week, spend a day. Saugerties, you're pooped and I'm tired. Saugerties, your wrists
okay.
hurt,
okay.
but we love you.
Great to talk to you.
Mom, that was great work as usual and congratulations.
You should make money
was,
speaking.
She was the best, don't encourage her. She's going to move in on my territory.
Oh,
she's in
yeah.
Canada, that's where I get my good gigs. My mom was the best in her class. Right, Mom?
That's right. Actually, I wasn't. That was a surprising thing because I thought that Dad would be. But, you know, I learned that Dad is not a good student. There was one other student,
I learned that
one
your,
other
your
lady
not
there
it.
About my age.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And she was just really, you know, horrible the first day. But
what a
she
piece
was
of
a
shit.
Very good student. Like, she really listened and yeah. tried to do the things the right way. And she really improved a lot.
You know, you know what I say about that? You know what I have to say about
what?
That?
I don't know what you have to say about that.
Turn down for what? Mom, I love you.
Okay, love you too, Bina. Talk to you later.
Maybe.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Clark Jones is in the building.
Clark Jones, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Yo, we put a lot of names out there in the system, but if there's one name that you got to remember, it's Clark Jones. This has been a My Sexy Podcast production brought to you by the town of Saugerties, New York.
Let's get drunk.
Saugerties, let's get drunk. Lisa, any last thoughts?
I hope I feel like I revealed a little too much about...
We like that.
About friendships, sucking dicks, old men, the industry.
Guys,
I don't know.
You'd like to see the rash that Lisa got from wearing lace shorts and walking around the city, please visit her online at online.com.
Yes, I like Instagram.
I like Instagram too. Guys, I like you. Y'all are cool ass motherfuckers, and I'll see you next week, motherfuckers.
Stone cold. Just cause she's blowing up, don't freak out, freak out.
Bitch.
This podcast gonna feed us, pay out, pay out.
Oh, fooling around and chasing old mistakes. You'll be screaming out for more when I'm halfway out the door someday. Touch the lips that you'll be kissing. Cause I'm halfway out the door and you're screaming out for more, baby. Give you two to count for, cause I know I'm gonna hear you say.